Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're diving into a crucial but often overlooked phase in the journey of a new medicine, the leap from the lab to the factory floor. This transition from a controlled lab setting to large-scale commercial manufacturing is packed with challenges, but it's absolutely crucial to get it right.
You hit the nail on the head there. Think about it. How often do we stop and think about the complexity behind producing those everyday pills we rely on? Millions of doses, all consistent and safe. That's quite a feat.
It truly is. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on this fascinating process known as technology transfer.
And to guide our exploration, we'll be drawing insights from some real-world case studies, especially from the journal Organic Process Research and Development, or OPR&D for short. It's a treasure trove of practical examples showcasing how scientists and engineers have tackled these very challenges we're discussing.
OPR&D, a great resource. So what's on the agenda for our deep dive today? What are the key things we want to uncover about this technology transfer?
Our mission today is pretty straightforward: to shed light on the core elements of this transfer process. We'll examine how knowledge is shared between the research teams in the lab and the people actually manufacturing the medicines on the plant floor. We'll also unravel how quality is maintained throughout this scaling up process and discuss some of the unexpected hurdles that pop up when you try to scale a lab process to thousands of times its original size. And to illustrate all of this, we'll be pulling in concrete examples right from the pages of OPR&D.
Sounds good. Let's start with the basics. You've developed a great process in the lab. Let's say you're making a few grams of a new drug. What's the next step? How do you scale that up to produce kilograms or even tons of the drug? It can't be as simple as just using bigger equipment and more ingredients, right?
Absolutely not. Scaling up is about navigating a whole new set of physical realities. Imagine a lab flask. It's got a large surface area relative to the volume of liquid it holds. This makes temperature control pretty straightforward. But now picture a massive reactor in a manufacturing plant. The surface area to volume ratio shrinks dramatically, and suddenly controlling the temperature evenly becomes a major challenge.
So the physics of the process actually changes at a larger scale.
Exactly. This change in the physics can drastically alter reaction rates and even lead to the formation of byproducts you wouldn't see in the lab.
I see. What other fundamental factors change when you scale up?
Well, mass transfer is another big one. It's all about how well your reactants mix at the molecular level. Ensuring efficient and consistent mixing in those huge industrial vessels is a significant engineering challenge.
Because it's harder to stir things evenly in a giant tank compared to a small flask.
Precisely. You can end up with the dead zones where mixing is poor, leading to hot spots or varying concentrations of reactants. Remember those continuous flow reactors we discussed from the OPR&D 2012 paper? One of their main advantages over traditional batch reactors is more efficient and predictable mass transfer. The narrow channels in these reactors ensure much better control over the reaction compared to trying to stir a huge vat evenly.
Interesting. So the movement of molecules on a tiny scale becomes a big engineering problem at a larger scale.
Yeah.
And what about the chemistry itself? Does the reaction proceed in the same way when you scale up?
Well, the basic chemical transformation remains the same. The rate of the reaction and the impurities that form can be heavily influenced by those changes in physical conditions we talked about, the temperature variations and mixing efficiency.
So even if the chemistry is the same, the way it plays out can change drastically.
Exactly. For example, if you can't remove heat effectively in a large reactor, you might get localized overheating. This can accelerate unwanted side reactions and produce impurities that were barely detectable in the lab. That's why thorough process characterization is so important. You need to understand how these scale-dependent factors affect your reaction and design a process that can handle those changes.
So you've got a promising lab process, and you're starting to figure out how it behaves at scale. What's the next critical step in moving from the lab to the production line?
That's where knowledge transfer comes in. The scientists who developed the process in the lab need to train the manufacturing personnel who'll be running it in the plant. This isn't just about handing over a recipe. It's about conveying all those subtle nuances and know-how.
It's like an apprenticeship for a very complex chemical process.
Exactly. While detailed documentation, including standard operating procedures or SOPs, is essential for regulatory compliance, like those outlined in 21 CFR Part 211, it can't capture everything.
I can imagine.
There's a lot of tacit knowledge, things learned through experience, that needs to be transferred through hands-on training and close collaboration. A robust quality system, guided by principles like ICHQ-9 and good drug regulatory practices, ensures that this training is consistent and everyone follows procedures rigorously.
So skilled people following well-defined steps are key to producing a consistent, high-quality medicine. How do you then ensure that the product coming out of the plant matches the quality of what you are making in the lab?
That brings us to the crucial phase of quality handover. This involves transferring analytical methods and quality control procedures from the development team to the quality control unit in the manufacturing facility. These are the tests that verify the identity, purity, potency, and overall quality of the drug substance and the final drug product in every single batch.
I see. So the scientists who develop the tests need to teach the quality control team how to run them and interpret the results.
Absolutely. And crucially, as mandated by regulations like 21 CFR Part 211, these analytical methods must be verified under the actual conditions of the plant's quality control labs. A test that works perfectly in a research lab might not perform the same way in a different environment.
Different instruments, different settings. It's important to ensure the tests are reliable in their new home. And what exactly are they checking for during these quality control tests?
They're mainly focused on consistently meeting the critical quality attributes, or CQAs, of the drug. These are the properties that directly impact the safety and effectiveness of the medicine. One interesting challenge in maintaining these CQAs during scale-up is the potential formation of different polymorphs.
Polymorphs, right. Different crystal structures of the same molecule, which can have different properties.
Precisely. As highlighted in sources like OPR&D 2012-D2 and the book Polymorphism in the Pharmaceutical Industry, different polymorphs can have very different characteristics like solubility, stability, and even how they behave during manufacturing. A new polymorph might emerge during large-scale crystallization that wasn't seen in the lab, and this could affect the drug's performance. So thorough investigation and control strategies to ensure you're producing the desired crystal form consistently are crucial. A good example of this is the study in OPR&D 2019-B, where they compared batch and continuous flow crystallization methods specifically for cGMP manufacturing, emphasizing the focus on achieving consistent solid form and product quality.
So even the way the drug molecules are arranged in crystals needs to be controlled to avoid surprises.
Absolutely. Now let's delve into some specific scaling challenges using real-world examples from OPR&D to illustrate how complex this transition can be.
I'm all ears. Let's hear about some instances where scaling up didn't go as smoothly as planned.
One example is from OPR&D 2012. Researchers were developing a more efficient process for a key intermediate using continuous flow chemistry. Their initial work with small-scale plug flow reactors, or PFRs, was very promising. They successfully scaled this up to a pilot plant, producing a significant amount of material under GMP conditions. This highlighted the potential of flow chemistry for rapid development and scale-up. However, they didn't stop there. They developed a second-generation route that was even more efficient and suitable for smaller-scale commercial production.
So they kept refining the process for even better scalability. What about an example where they faced a more significant hurdle?
The OPR&D 2024 paper provides a good example. They were scaling up a Grignard reaction using R-epichlorohydrin. This reaction worked perfectly at a 1-gram scale in the lab. However, when they tried it at a 25-gram scale, they saw a massive increase in an unwanted side product. This forced them to go back and meticulously re-optimize the reaction conditions, like temperature and the rate of reagent addition. It shows that a process that seems perfect in the lab can behave very differently at a larger scale.
So you can't simply assume that what works in the lab will translate directly to manufacturing. Sometimes you need to re-optimize.
Exactly. And sometimes the impurities themselves behave differently at scale. A good illustration of this is the OPR&D 2013 study on urea formation. When they scaled up this reaction, they found inconsistencies in the purification process due to varying minor impurities. This sometimes resulted in an unusable product. Their solution was to introduce a silica gel plug filtration step, which effectively removed these impurities. This highlights how scaling up might require additional purification steps that weren't needed in the lab.
It's fascinating how impurities can become a bigger problem at larger scales. Do you have another example of an unexpected scale-up challenge?
Certainly. OPR&D 2016-C describes a case where they had problems with emulsions forming during the aqueous workup of a reaction at scale. In the lab, separating the organic and water layers after the reaction was easy, but at a larger scale, they kept getting stubborn emulsions that made it difficult to isolate the product. They solved this by switching to a different solvent system, a mixture of 2-methyl tetrahydrofuran, or meth, and water. This change resulted in a much cleaner and easier to scale process without the emulsions. It shows how seemingly minor things like solvent choice can significantly impact scalability.
These real-world examples really highlight that technology transfer isn't always straightforward. It often involves problem-solving and adapting to unexpected challenges.
Absolutely. And to tackle these challenges, the pharmaceutical industry is increasingly using process analytical technology, or PAT.
Hey, can you remind us what that is?
PAT is basically about using sophisticated sensors and analytical instruments directly within the manufacturing equipment. As mentioned in OPR&D 2016C and OPR&D 2021C, these tools can continuously monitor things like temperature, pressure, mixing, and even the composition of the reaction mixture in real time.
So instead of taking samples and analyzing them separately, you have constant feedback on what's happening inside the reactor.
Exactly. This allows for much tighter control over the process and early detection of deviations, minimizing the risk of quality issues during scale-up and leading to a more consistent product. Examples of these PAT tools include techniques like near-infrared and Raman spectroscopy and ATR-FTIR, which is particularly useful for controlling supersaturation during crystallization.
This deep dive has been truly enlightening. It's amazing to see the complexity involved in bringing a promising molecule from the lab to a scale where it can benefit patients worldwide.
It really is. We've explored the importance of understanding and addressing the changes that come with scaling up, the significance of training and quality handover, and the problem-solving nature of technology transfer, all illustrated by real-world experiences from OPR&D.
This often invisible stage is truly fundamental to ensuring access to safe and effective medicines.
Absolutely. So the next time you take a medicine, think about the incredible journey it has gone through and the dedicated teams who made it possible. It makes you appreciate the intricate processes behind many everyday things we often take for granted.
It certainly does.